And thank you, Anthony, for the opportunity to come and shepherd his flock this week. I talked to him this morning. I called him as I got here. He said, "Oh, hey, what you doing?" I was like, "I'm just sitting here in your church, in the churchyard." "Oh, what are you, just walking around praying?" I was like, "No, getting ready to preach." He said, "Oh, it's Sunday." That's when you know it's a good vacation, I guess. You lose track of days. Thank you guys for coming out this morning. I know there's other places you could be, sitting on your couch, watching HGTV, eating biscuits and gravy. And I wouldn't fault you for that at all, except the HGTV part. I love biscuits and gravy. Thank you for having me. Today we're going to talk about the story of Jonah. I don't know why I keep saying Noah. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Jonah, we're going to start in Numbers and just work our way all the way through. Anybody get that? You get that? Did you get that? Let's see if somebody caught that. We were talking about that earlier. Numbers, like who reads that? That's tough to read. That's tough reading right there. So before we get started, in case you didn't realize, Jonah, not Noah, Jonah was a prophet. Now, when we say prophet, we automatically think, at least I do, I think like teller of future events. And that's true, that's partly true, but that's not always the case. But it is, however, always the case that a prophet, a true prophet, speaks for God. That's what that means. That's all that means. He speaks for God. Jonah was a prophet. So we're going to pick right up here because we're going to go through the whole chapter of Jonah. Don't worry about it. I'll have you home by dinner. So Jonah forsakes his mission. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Sing it, brother. Sing it. Hear that? That's the Holy Spirit right there. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. He said, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. Because its wickedness has come up before me." You see, let's just stop right there and know that God sees all. He knows all. There's no wickedness or no evil on this earth that can hide from him. Not none that anybody does to you or that you may do yourself. But Jonah ran away from the Lord. And he headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. Paying the fare, he went aboard and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. I wonder when I read that. Jonah had already made up his mind. He's like, "I'm not going." I wonder when I read that if he got on that ship thinking, "Ha ha, here we go." Like a kid who just got away with skipping school. You know what I'm saying? The bus is gone and I ain't on it. Ha ha. I'm staying right here. I'm headed out to Tarshish. I'm going to put my toes in the sand. I'm going to take a little break, and I'm not worried about what you told me to do, Lord. But that's kind of what he said. Jonah had heard plain as day the word of the Lord. The Lord told him to go do that. There was no denying it. It says it right here. But Jonah had made his mind up. Jonah knew that the people of Nineveh, where God was sending him, were evil people. The worst of the worst. And Jonah's like, "You know what, Lord, I ain't doing it. I'm not going." Wonder why we run from the Lord like that sometimes. Why we don't hear what he's saying to us. Do we not hear it? Or do we hear it and maybe pretend, or maybe don't do it because of stubbornness or laziness? Or maybe we think, "Well, that's just too hard for me. I can't do that. I'm not doing that. I don't feel comfortable with that." Or maybe I can't accomplish that, Lord. I can't do that. I know myself, and I know that I can't do that. Whatever it was, and I think we'll find out later, Jonah made the decision that he won't go. So he boarded that ship. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. You see, Jonah, in his disobedience, had just put everyone around him in danger. everyone on that ship was in danger because Jonah didn't do what God asked him to do. It wasn't just him anymore. Because remember, he's a prophet. He speaks for the Lord. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck. Remember, he's on vacation. Where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "Hey, man, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God, and maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity, because this stuff just don't happen." You know what I'm saying? So they cast lots, and it fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who's responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? And from whom people are you?" He said, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." And this terrified him. They asked, "What have you done?" No, they knew he was running from something, but they didn't know what. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do? What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" Jonah said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it'll become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." You see, Jonah was willing to give up his life for those sailors, those people that were right in front of him, those people he was on the ship with. But he wouldn't do the same for the Ninevites. His hatred for the people of Nineveh had affected his perspective. Not to say that he might have been spot on in whatever it is that they did. I mean, they might be wicked, evil, ruthless people, and the Bible tells us that. People that were so desperate to stay in power in that large city that they would do anything to keep it. But that's not for us to say. That's not for Jonah to say. Instead, the men did their best just to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and they threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord. And they made vows to the Lord. See, God can use even hopeless situations where you can't see any way out. Like, "This is it, Lord. I don't know what to do." But I do. That's what the Lord says. I know what to do. If you just trust me, do what I ask you to do. That's all you have to do is what I ask you to do. He can use those hopeless situations to bring people to him. And isn't that not what we're supposed to do? Go and make disciples. Right? But it took the obedience of one person in that moment. After turning his back to God and literally sacrificing himself for others, he was willing to die for the crew of that ship, but maybe not somebody else. Now, this is the part of the story that we know. This is the part of the story that we all heard in Sunday school. Jonah gets thrown over the side. So the Lord looks out for Jonah, and he sends the big fish, this ginormous fish, to swallow Jonah. And this is what he brings up. This is what he does while he's in the belly of that fish. And I didn't realize that Jesus himself references this We try to dismiss this as a story, as a Sunday school story. I dare you to turn to Matthew and find it. And after I saw that, there's a lot of parallels between Jonah and Jesus. Neither one of them really wanted to do what they were asked to do. But it was God's will. So here's Jonah's prayer. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord God. He said, "In my distress, I called to you, Lord, and you answered me. From the deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped up around my head. To the roots of the mountains, I sank down. To the earth beneath, barred me in forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away, for God love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed, and I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord." And at that moment, God commanded the fish to vomit, is what it says. Blech. Jonah, right up on the land. Jonah just prayed his prayer of salvation, hoping for a miracle, and he receives one. Well, what do you think he did then? He's like, "I'm going to Nineveh. Vacation over." So Jonah goes to Nineveh. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. "Go to the city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I gave you." Now, I'm sure he got another chance. I'm sure he wasn't excited about the message, because the message was a pretty harsh message to the people of Nineveh. So Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the middle of the city and proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Whew, that's kind of harsh. Now, I'm sure he wasn't excited about this. Because remember, he still hated the people of Nineveh. They don't deserve not one ounce of grace. That's what he's saying. They're not like us. They're not good people. They're just evil, wicked people. But he was asked to do it nonetheless. Jonah was to preach only what God had told him, a message of doom to one of the most powerful cities in the world. This is not what you call a desirable task. I mean, just think of the outcome, what it could have been for Jonah. But those who bring God's word should not let social pressures or fear of people dictate their words. They are called to preach God's message, no matter how unpopular it may be. That's what we're called to do. Not our message. Not what we think, but what God thinks. So Jonah tells him, he said, like, "Hey, 40 more days and Nineveh's going to be destroyed." And he was probably thinking that there's no way in the world that this whole city, 120,000 people, are going to turn from their wicked ways in 40 days. I'm kind of seeing here Jonah's real heart. I'm not letting that stop me. It's the Holy Spirit, man. But they did. Let me just go and preach. They did. They turned from their ways. When God saw what they did, wait a minute, I'll skip the whole chapter here. Yeah, here it is. Can't miss that. The Ninevites believed, proclaiming. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah, morning, reached the king, he rose from the throne. He took off his royal robes and covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. And the king said this. He said, who knows? God may yet relent and have compassion on us. Turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Who knows? Is that what he said? Who knows? How about this one? God knows. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Y'all remember that one? They did. And when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented. And he did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Well, how about that? God kept his promise. How often does that happen?
Always.
Always. How we forget that, don't we? Here's where it gets interesting. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Jonah had just revealed his heart, his true heart, what he thought deep down in here. And along with it, the real reason for his reluctance to go to Nineveh. This is why he didn't want to go. It wasn't because he was scared, or it wasn't because he was lazy. He didn't want to go because he wanted them destroyed. He had forgotten that the God was not only the God of Israel, he was the God of the whole world. And his word says that he would want none to perish, that all should come to him. Jonah didn't care nothing about that. Jonah's like, I don't think that's right. He prayed to the Lord. Jonah says, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. Like, I didn't need to go there. You were going to do what you're going to do anyway. I knew that you were gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. God who relents from sin and calamity, now, Lord, take away my life. He said it again. Lord, just kill me. For it is better for me to die than to live. I would rather die than to see these people come to you, Lord. But the Lord replied, Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah was ministered to ever so gently by the Lord, just as he did with Israel, just as he did with Nineveh, just like he does with us. So Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, and he sat in the shade and waited to see what was going to happen to the city. He's like, I'm sitting right here, and I'm going to watch what happens, because they ain't going to do it. And this is gonna be great. I got a front row seat. Then the Lord God provided a little leafy plant because he knew Jonah. Jonah was angry. He was upset. And we all get mad. We do. We think that injustices that shouldn't happen. Why has it got to happen that way? I get angry about that. I get wrapped up in that sometimes. Especially when I watch the news. But he ministers to us ever so slightly. If you'll stop long enough to listen to him, he'll tell you that. But Jonah was still mad. So the Lord God provided a leafy plant. He made it grow overnight to give Jonah shade for his head to ease his discomfort. It's like, calm down, man. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant, and so it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's poor head, so that he grew faint, and he wanted to die again. He said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Jonah, eat a Snickers, man. Calm down. He didn't really say that. He said, you've been concerned about this plant, though you didn't tend it. You didn't make it grow. It sprang up overnight, and it died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh? In which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, who don't know right from wrong. And he didn't leave the animals out either. He said, and also many animals. God had sent Jonah on with such a message. Such a great message that the whole city turned from their sin and cried out to the Lord. And he sends us with the same message today. But are we hearing it? At the end of the day, Jonah was more concerned about the withering of that plant on that vine than he was the people around him. He was angry that the Ninevites weren't destroyed the way that he thought they should be. Instead of being overwhelmed with joy over the 120,000 people that just got saved, he was mad because things didn't work out the way he wanted them to. Are we that way today? Do we present God our plan and want him to bless it? Or do we say, Lord, thank you for letting us be a part of your plan? Are we more concerned with the here and the now, what we think should happen in the next 70 days, than we should overlook what happens for eternity? There are people left and right that don't know their left from their right. I dare say it. I wrote it in here, but I'm going to say it. Are we more concerned today with who gets in the White House or who gets in God's house? I have to check myself. I got one more story to tell you, if I can find it. This was the basis of this whole message. I knew I was preaching weeks ago. So I go out and I try to get to myself, because if I stay home, sit in that shop where I usually do it, I'll fall asleep in a chair in a minute like that. Or I'll find something else to do. So I was like, I'm going to go find something else to do. And this was my Saturday morning adventure. And I've got this little spot down on Hunt Club that I'll go. But the Lord meets you there faithfully. And I'm going to read you what I wrote in my journal. I set out on my adventure this morning around 5:30, knowing where it was God wanted me to go. There was a log on a path that had been there for 2 years that aggravates me to no end. Every time I sneak up this path to get to my stand, I got to cross this stinking log. You're getting wet, and you're getting just aggravated. You try sneaking over a log. You know what I'm saying? And it was a big one. He said, go move that log. I was like, yeah, yes, that's what we're going to do, Lord. Been waiting to get down that path for over a year. It's only been hindering my travels for at least a year. I tried to move it with the tractor over the summer and like to roll it over the hill. The tractor. But for some reason, that morning, at every single solitary turn, there was another distraction. something else keeping me from what God wanted me to do. The first thing is daybreak, and I'm pulling. I was like, who is this pulling in my club? It is Howard Staten. I was like, well, hey, Howard, what are you doing here? Because he's not a member of the club. He's like, oh, man, we got cows out. Now, not to say that Howard's a distraction, because he's not. He's another brother in Christ, and I love him. And the Lord let me talk to him for a good 30, 45 minutes. So I was like, okay, got on past that. Second thing, got to the creek. The creek was muddy. It rained the night before. Logs floating it down. I was like, oh, man, I'm not even going to be able to get across the creek. Shoot. I was like, well, let me check. So I got a stick and I poked out there. I was like, well, look, it's just muddy. And it just looks like it's up. It's not really up. I can make it across that. So I did. I persevered on. So let me give you a little backstory. Let me just tell you what this place looks like. You cross this beautiful creek. There's a big rock bluff on the left. Three little bottoms come together. It's just a beautiful, peaceful, tranquil place. You can't even hear a car go down the road. And the Lord has met me there many, many, many times before. After all that, I said, I'm going to stay right here. He's like, no, you're not. Go on up the path. And so I did. So I crossed the creek and headed up the path, up the creek bank beside the big rock bluffs where I have sat quite a few times before and been inspired. I thought, this is good enough. But I couldn't stop there. I said, go on. Go do the work I asked you to do. So I did. And it wasn't long I had made it to that log. That one that had caused me so much grief for so much time. That log that stood in my way for way too long. That sucker is coming out this morning. So I pulled the old steel off the four-wheeler and sank that steel. And it was, the log was 3/4 rotten. He had all but moved it for me. I was like, this is great. He said, now keep going. So I got to the top of the hill, and there was some more logs. I was like, well, I'm here. I'll just do those too. And there's a few more logs, and a few more logs. He said, why don't you go a little further, and a little further, and a little further. And the more farther I went, the wetter and the nastier I got. And I was like, this is going to be good when I get to the end of this path. The Lord's going to give me something great. I can't wait to write it down. I probably went a half a mile or so and was exhausted. And then I got this highlighted. God's goal is not our comfort, but our character. The fulfillment you get from helping someone else, from removing that log for someone else, is much greater. So let me tell you, I got to the end of that path, waiting for God's big revelation. I got my pen and I got my paper out. He said, that's it. I was like, what? Did I miss it? He said, no, that's it. I just wanted you to go. Do what I asked you. Go clear that path. I was like, well, really? Don't make the mistake that every resource that comes to you is for your consumption. Giving and doing for others, generosity is always a part of God's plan. Now, I may not ever see the fruits of my labor, of why I cleared that path, why I got that log out of there, but somebody will. Somebody will. The message itself was walk the path. Do what he says to do. You know, Jonah's story ends right there at the end of that. It just stops. We don't know what happened to him. The last we know, he's still sitting on that hillside. Head all burn up. Still man, for all we know. The Bible doesn't tell us. He delivered a message that saved 120,000 people. But you know what? He missed it. He missed his own message. God's message to me that morning was just walk the path. I tell you to walk. Don't worry about what's at the end of it. Go save the people I tell you to save. Go lead the people of Christ that I tell you to lead to. Don't worry about which side they're on. Just do what I ask you to do. Do what I asked you to do, Gary. Do what I asked you to do, Jonah. I struggled with this all week. Do I just go tell another story? Do I preach what you told me to preach? Do I tell people what you tell me to tell them? Well, that's a no-brainer. All you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is speak for God. Share the gospel. When necessary, use words. That's it. Walk the path he tells you to walk. Move the logs he tells you to move. Don't worry. Don't worry about the end part of it. He's got that covered. Trust me. He's got that covered. So what are you going to do today? Are you going to walk the path he asked you to walk? Are you going to move the log he wants you to move? What's the log? Hey, what's the log in your path? What's holding you up? I know what holds me up. Ask the Lord this afternoon to reveal that log to you. Lord, help me move it. Tell me what it is you would have me move, and I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it. No matter the outcome, no matter, don't worry about what's at the end of the path. Just walk that path. I guarantee you, he'll give you something at the end of it. Something that nothing here can compare to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the lamp that you give me to guide my feet. I pray today, Lord, that you would guide the feet of everyone who hears this message. This is your message, not my message. I pray today, Lord, that you would give someone the strength not only to move the log, Lord, but just the strength to ask you what it is. Because sometimes we ask those questions, Lord, and we don't really want to know the answer. Reveal to me today, Lord, my heart. Sweep clean my heart and fill it with your love. I ask you, pray the same thing for each and every person here sitting under this beautiful shade of these trees that you provided for us. Don't let us sit here on this hillside like Jonah, angry over something that we can't control. But give us a little grace. Give us a little guidance. Lord, I just pray today that your message would be heard, that your word would be heard today, no matter whether I say it or not. I don't care nothing about that. I just want your word to be heard. Help us to surrender our will for your will. Stop letting me try to dictate the end of the story. Stop letting me try to point to the end of the path that I don't need to go. Help me to stay on your path, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around each and every soul here, around Pastor Anthony and his family as he's got his toes in the sand and he's trying to just rebuild his strength. Fill him full of your spirit, Lord. And let us just go be your light. Let us help clear that path for who walks behind us. These things we ask and pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,